Well, the surge of support for Teal, Independents and the Greens has put some very clear numbers around public frustration at the Morrison government on fundamental issues like equality and accountability, but most notably climate change. Like the former government, Labor campaigned with a climate promise to reach net zero by 2050, though Labor also promised to pursue a 2030 target more ambitious than the government's. But the Independents and Greens will be pushing the new Labor government to go much harder than that. David Sparks reports.
Walking the political tightrope of climate change has been tricky for Labor over the past few years. And nowhere has that balancing act been more obvious than in the coal-rich Hunter electorate in New South Wales. A once safe Labor seat, but one where One Nation received more than 20% of the vote at the 2019 election. But newcomer, former coal miner and Olympic shooting medalist Daniel Repicoli managed to keep Hunter in Labor's hands on Saturday.
Where right now we are an energy superpower right here in the Hunter, and will continue to be. The private sector is putting in billions and billions of dollars into this region to continue working with power in the power sector. So whilst people will buy our coal, we'll be selling them our coal. There's no doubt about that. We have a booming coal industry right now, and we're about to have a booming renewables and hydrogen sector here as well. We're going to have so much work here in the Hunter. It's going to be phenomenal.
Labor went into the election promising to reduce emissions by 43% by 2030 and reach net zero by 2050. Among its policies to get there is new investment in solar, as well as community batteries and boosting energy efficiency in existing industries. It also promised a $20 billion investment in new electricity transmission infrastructure. ClimateWorks Chief Executive Anna Scarbeck says that's a good idea, but the detail still needs to be worked out.
It's needed, but there is a lot of space still open to design it well. The reason it's needed is there's been a lag in the infrastructure because of the absence of a national net zero target in the previous years. And the lag has delayed the nation's ability to prepare the large volumes of renewable energy and storage alongside transmission that's needed to ensure that we can have a zero emissions economy underpinned with zero emissions electricity.
Anna Scarbeck says Labor will need to sit down with the energy industry to get it right.
But it's important, I think, that in the design of this, that there be time spent to get the design right, and that the grid we're building is a grid that includes enabling the decarbonisation of all our cars and homes, and the decarbonisation of industry and powering exports in a zero emissions way, which include green hydrogen.
It looks like Labor will hold a majority of seats in the lower house, but the Senate is looking more complicated and results are still coming in. At some point, Labor will need to negotiate on climate action. Anthony Albanese has said he won't bring in tougher measures than those he took to the election. But Anna Scarbeck says because the incoming government still needs to nail down the details of its policies, it's got some room to manoeuvre.
Indeed, going into this election, both major parties had a net zero commitment. So that is not in doubt. And it actually does move the issue away from politics and into implementation. It becomes part of the ordinary business of doing government that we are heading into a net zero emissions economy. And it is the job of all governments from now on in to prepare our nation to do that.
Lisa Zembrode is Director of Energy Markets at Schneider Electric. She says now that Labor has its hands on the steering wheel, its big challenge is to reform two sides of the problem, both the way Australia generates energy, but also the efficiency with which we consume it.
Electricity prices continue to rise regardless of who's in government, and this is partially because of what's happening globally. So something the government should be thinking about is, how can we reduce our reliance on fossil fuels, given that it's those fossil fuels that are connecting us to that global energy crisis and driving up our domestic electricity prices?
Yeah, and I mean, are electricity prices ever really going to come down, or are we just going to stop them rising as fast?
They will come down, right? The cure for high prices is high prices, as people in markets like to say. They will come down. But we need to take all the right steps to get there. So growth in renewables, growth in storage, growth in demand flexibility, growth in energy efficiency. So those, all of these things will each contribute to helping electricity prices come down.
Schneider Electric Director of Energy Markets, Lisa Zembrote. Our reporter there, David Sparks.